I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams. Today was media day for Tennessee football as camp opens tomorrow. In a little more than an hour, we'll have our first practice report of the 2021 season.
And let's hear more from Josh Heupel as he met with the media earlier today. Here are comments from him regarding the press conference today.
Josh, you guys had, I think, a lot of guys' experience and numbers coming back on the defensive line, stemming out and got a couple transfers. What kind of went into that decision? What do you guys as staff like about Caleb and Tajon?
The transfer portal has been a double-edged sword for our program. Right before I got here, guys that had left, we felt like we had to add depth to what we were doing. Offensively, defensively, obviously a majority of that came on the defensive side of the football. We're able to add two guys on each level, the secondary, the linebackers, and the defensive line. Felt like we need competition, needed maturity, and guys that were ultimately going to be able to help us go compete.
You took over UCF program, it was hitting on all cylinders, and then you came in, took this job, and it was just mired in controversy, the incidental investigation. Just how much of a challenge was that compared to,
there's challenges with every job. There's nothing easy in college sports. The competitive nature of it, how you enter the building, it's all about building connection, trust with your football team, no matter what the previous season looked like. Certainly, the uncertainty that our players faced, in the couple months leading up to me coming here, was different than what I had faced going into UCF. The timing of when I got hired was different. You look at getting through June, typically the hiring process happens in December. We were cramming 7 months of work into 5 months. Proud of what our staff did, proud of what our players did too. But every job's unique, from recruiting to your alumni base to what's going on inside the program. But all of it's competitive and hard.
Josh, you have had a lot more players that left in the transfer portal than you signed in the portal. You've also had a couple of players that can't play for injury. And I just wonder, how concerned are you about your depth on offense and defense?
Yeah, certainly. Just where we're at roster-wise, we are thinner than you typically want to be or are when you head into training camp. Keeping our kids healthy throughout training camp, but during the course of the season, will be a huge impact on our season. We got to continue to develop the roster from the bottom up, and we're going to have some young guys that are going to need to help us as we go through this season.
Coach, I know you had several guys limited in spring or missed spring because of injury. How healthy are those guys, and how healthy is this team as you start fall camp, whether it's Banks, Roman Harrison, Lenneth Whitehead, just your roster in general, how healthy?
Yeah, getting those guys that were nicked up, a majority of them were shoulder injuries. All those guys are back, have had tremendous summers. Really anticipate every one of them being at 100% as we go through training camp. Making sure that we take care of them as we go through that, managing their workload, making sure that they're continuing to stay healthy. Their maintenance plans will be really important. Our strength and conditioning staff and our training room have done a great job of working together to make sure that these guys are back and at 100%. Really like what those players have done. Now, don't anticipate anybody of major note being limited here as we start training camp. All those guys that you mentioned will be full go.
You talked about at SEC Media Days, you're kind of under that threshold when it comes to COVID vaccinations. Have you gained any traction on that since SEC Media Days going into fall camp?
Yeah, we have continued to gain traction as far as the number of players inside of our roster that are continuing to get vaccinated. Obviously, that's not an overnight process. As far as being fully vaccinated, the windows that take place. But our kids have continued more and more every day to go into the training room and ask and get that. Our medical staff has continued to do a great job of educating those guys. Obviously, you can see the landscape of everything is changing day to day, just as far as what's happening with CDC guidelines and what's happening inside of this state, too. And we'll lean on our medical team to help us navigate that. We'll ultimately find out, but when we hit that mark, I'll let you know.
You got your all four quarterbacks talking today, coordinators. You've allowed assistants to talk. This is a little bit different from how it has been here. Just wondering how important it is to you to be open like that. What is the value in that for a program in this position right now?
The value for us is that if you can have multiple voices speaking to the culture, the energy, what's going on inside of your program. I think it has a chance for our fan base to grab a hold of it, to see what's truly going on inside of our program, the gains and the progress that we're making daily, weekly, monthly. I think it has a chance to help us in recruiting as well. I think it's important. This is a passionate fan base that cares deeply about what's going on every day of the year, not just on game day Saturdays, you know, the eight times we play inside of Neyland Stadium. Giving them access and insight to who we are, what we're about, and how we're doing things, I think is really important.
You said a lot about trust. How does a player gain your trust? And considering the roster situation, is it possible you put players on the field that you don't trust?
I hope we don't have to put players on the field that we don't trust. Trust is earned and garnered in way you operate and handle yourself every single day. As a coach, right, how I handle every situation, positive, negative, there's a ripple effect to every interaction that I have with every player, every staff member. The same is true for our player. Are they on meetings on time? Do they have a notebook? How do they compete? How do they handle positive play? How do they handle negative play? How do they handle coaching? Who are they inside of the weight room? We've charted everything. Our players clearly understand the standard of what a Tennessee Volunteer football player should be doing every single day. Where we started in February when I got this job to who we are now, the individual players have all grown so much, but the program in itself in that way doesn't resemble where we were when I took over. I'm proud of what we've done, where we've gone. That never ends. That's always a work in progress. At the same time, before we kick off looking backwards, we've come a long way.
With Oklahoma and Texas scheduled to join the conference, what are your thoughts both on that for the SEC and also obviously Oklahoma, given your ties to that program?
Yeah, certainly. I think you want to coach and play in this league because you get a chance to compete against the best every single day, every single week. And, you know, this league continues to strengthen itself inside the landscape of college football. I think if you look back 20 years ago, right, I'm not sure any of us would have guessed what the landscape would look like now, you know, before the original shift of realignment. Once that happened, I think people thought that, you know, at different moments in time, there was the possibility of realignment. Excited about what our league continues to do.
Josh, two things. Can you speak to Austin Pope, who's having to step away from football? And he mentioned that you encouraged him to suggest it to him to stay on scholarship so he could still be around the team and get those benefits. That's one. And two, have you identified punt and kickoff return candidates at this point?
We have not named anybody kickoff, punt return. They're going to earn it. We chart it every single day. We chart, you know, regular catches off of jugs. We chart competitive strain catches as well. You know, those guys understand that the guy that's going to be the guy back there catching the ball, someone that we're going to trust in his decision making, also being able to field the ball, whether that's punt return, kick return, and a guy's going to take care of it. Austin Pope, you absolutely hate it for the young man, a guy that obviously still wants to play, but the body's given out before his will to play the game. That happens a lot in this sport. Hopefully not at this level, but certainly that happens at the next level. And just hate it for him because he's a guy that, you know, we talk about trust. The coaching changes that he's been through, it took some work to build trust with him in some ways, but a guy that I think really started to trust the process, who we are, what we're about, and how we're doing things, and was really enjoying being inside of our building and felt good about, you know, the potential for him to have a really big year. And, you know, just medically just can't play anymore. And that transition to me is really difficult. It's something that I went through as a player. And those moments are tough when you're by yourself and you're uncertain about what your next step is, and that next step is happening faster than you planned on. So for him, just any way that we can help support him to go through that process, want him to understand that we are in his corner, appreciate everything that he's given to this football program, and want to be a resource for him, you know, while he's going through that transition here over the next 6 months, but for life. You know, VFL means Vol for Life, and that's something that we take very seriously inside of our program.
Josh Heupel, Tennessee head coach, with his press conference earlier today.
John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams.
Let's now hear from Tennessee tight end Jacob Warren. He's a product of Farragut. Reported at 206 as a freshman. He now weighs about 248 or so. Here are comments from the media session today with Jacob Warren.
Jacob, first off, one of your teammates, Austin Pope, decided to give up football. What was your reaction when he made that decision?
Yeah, obviously, at least for a personal aspect, like anything that's going to be best for him is what I want. So when he told me, broke the news to me that we weren't going to be playing together this year, I mean, obviously it was tough, but I know that he's got a future, and you got to kind of think about yourself and be selfish in a lot of these decisions. So I think that's what he did, and he chose what was best for him. So it's unfortunate, but had to be done.
What do you feel like you need to do to improve as a tight end to get playing time?
Just everything, all around, all the details, all the technique aspects, just fine-tuning, all my blocking, my route running, just to be able to make plays. I think that's one thing that I'll be able to do this year is just make plays and be a part of the offense, and so just stepping my game up to match the expectation.
When Austin came here, he was a pass catcher and then developed into a blocker. Were you sort of the same way in Farragut? Were you more of a pass catcher and you had to learn to block?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the people that watched me in high school knew that. I mean, I was pretty slender. Like, I was a pretty skinny guy. And so coming into college, if I was going to continue to play tight end, I was going to have to put on a lot of weight and change my body. And I think, you know, so far I've done a pretty good job of doing that and getting to where I need to be. And so developing that blocking aspect, like you were talking about, has been huge.
How much have you gained? What did you go from?
Yeah, I think when I came to campus, I was probably 206 pounds. And, I mean, if you look at the roster now, I think I'm like 249 or something was with the last weigh-in that I had. So I'm in quite a bit of weight. So,
Jacob, what can you say about the team building that Coach Heupel implemented in the offseason? He's talked about meeting with the leadership council and coming away with the belief that was something that you guys really needed.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing that we need right now is just coming together as a team and just playing, because we have athletes, we have the coaches to do it, the scheme to do it, and it's just about coming together and being able to do it together.
And as a tight end, I mean, how exciting is the thought of playing in this offense? I mean, it seems like it's a big part of what they want to do.
Right, that's exactly what I want as a tight end, is just a chance to be a part of the offense, to catch balls, to block. You know, I don't care to block. I love blocking. I love, you know, getting in the trenches and doing what I need to do. But just being a factor in the offense and being what people can rely on to make plays and do all that sort of thing. So it's big for me.
How would you describe sort of the atmosphere that Coach Heupel has tried to create here?
Yeah, I guess it would just be welcoming. I think that when you walk in the building, it's always, you know, hello, how you doing, what's up, from everybody in the building, whether that's staff or whether that's players and everything. I think that that's the biggest driving and motivating factor right now, is just being around the guys and knowing that we all want to be here and we all want to be a part of what's going on.
And the idea of welcoming, would you get that sense even in terms of the program to the outside world?
I think that there's a lot of care for the fans now, and I mean, there has been before, but especially now there's a lot more engagement with the fans and a lot more things that are coming out for them, and they can kind of see what's going on with us. But, you know, there's obviously the aspect of the part that of the game that we have to keep to ourselves, and, you know, that's kind of what this camp's about, just going into it. They always say, just lock the doors and let's go play ball. So I think that's the biggest thing about it right now.
Brandon, since the start of last year, 35 players have transferred, and some are walk-ons and some have been dismissed. I get all that.
Yeah.
But was it discouraging to see that many players leave the program?
Well, this is, I mean, kind of what I talked to you about earlier, about making decisions for yourself and being a little bit selfish at times. If you're not in a situation that is going to be beneficial to you, to your future family, and to your career, I mean, you got to go do what you got to do. I love all the guys that have left. I still talk to them, you know, most of them. So there's no hard feelings in me and anybody. So I understand they got to do what they got to do. And if I was ever in that position that's where I wanted to do, I would expect the same support from my teammates.
I could see not having hard feelings, but it kind of hurts the team a little bit when you lose that many players, doesn't it?
Yeah, players go, players come. I think that you can handle that recruiting. And obviously we got a bunch of transfers in here too. So, like I said, we're just focused on what we got here and just doing what we can with that.
Jacob, has the pace of play, the tempo that Coach Heupel wants to play at, has that been a big adjustment, or has it been, you know, kind of, has it changed off-season conditioning?
Yeah, obviously there's going to be a bigger emphasis on thinking fast, playing fast, making fast decisions, running fast, like just playing with speed is a big part of this offense, and so that's obviously been the emphasis in our summer conditioning and spring practice and everything.
And it's kind of along those same lines. Do you need more depth at every position? Yeah. I mean, you feel like you're going to have three or four tight ends that are going to have to play?
Right, 100%. That opens up a lot of playing opportunities for younger guys who want to step up and really want to play. And so it'll just be a matter of who goes and takes a hold of it.
And I know he's not your position coach, but do you see benefits of having a head coach that played quarterback and played it at a high level? Does that show up?
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome to see how he completely understands everything that we're going through, like personally. Like, he knows exactly how it is. He knows how to get to the top because he's done it before. He's done, you know, Heisman candidate. He's won national championships. He's done all these things. So it's easy to get behind him and be like, all right, I believe you. I trust you. I'm going to follow you. Big thing.
Would you like to play defense against this offense?
No, it'd be tough for me personally, but yeah, I don't know. They're going to have to get ready for it. I think our defense is going to have to do it. It's going to be very well off as far as tempo-wise, playing against us in practice every day, just because if you can keep up with us, you can keep up just about anybody.
Do you think it's a conditioning advantage, but also maybe you can get the matchups that you want as well when you go in high tempo?
Yeah, I mean, you watch film of what UCF is able to do. They're catching guys off guard here and there, catching people, substituting in and out, getting flags and penalties. That's what we're about, just trying to keep them on their heels, and we're just pushing forward the whole time.
Jacob, Coach Heupel was saying in there earlier that you know, when he first got here, that the players said it was important to stress the interaction between the staff and players. Why was that important for you guys initially?
Yeah. He's got a thing that says, like, respect, and just this connection goes from player to player, coach to coach, coach to player. So if we have that, if everyone can believe in everybody and trust everybody, there's no lapses in our system, right? There's communication within everybody. Everyone believes in each other. So it's not a hierarchy of head coach to position coach to player. It's everyone's on a level playing field, and we're all just here just to get better and do what we need to do.
What have you been working on to help elevate your game this year?
For me, it's just a lot of mental, taking away my mental block, being more physical, and just kind of letting loose and playing fast. I think that's something I've struggled with in the past. I'm a big thinker, so I get in my head a lot, and I'll kind of question the things that I'm doing. But I think once I kind of just let loose and just let myself just react and play fast, I'll be a better player because of it.
Is this often challenging for tight ends in particular because there's not as much substituting, because you have to be ready to go from, you know, run package to pass play on one play the next?
Yeah, tight ends are definitely considered like the adjuster of this offense, so we have to obviously know everything, but we also have to move according to what, you know, the play might be. It might be a run and we're all the way on the outside of the field, so we've got to get inside fast, we've got to use tempo, we got to think the whole time. So it kind of just adds a whole nother element. You know, the offense really, I wouldn't say revolves around us, but we're a big crucial part of the offense. So if we got to be on point in everything we're doing, alignment, assignment, tempo, all that. So it's exciting to me, though, because I, you know, I love the challenge. I love being that guy. So.
Were you surprised Joe Milton, the quarterback, when he got here and saw
yeah,
how big he is?
He got here when he showed up in the summer, and we were all just looking at the guy like, goodness gracious, man, like, there's no way you play quarterback, right? Because he's just as big as me. But, I mean, he can throw the ball. He can really do it. So, you know, whether it's him, whether it's any of the other guys, we're right behind him, supporting him, ready for whatever.
What position do you think he probably played?
I don't want to disrespect him like that. No, I'm just kidding, man. He fits it, man. He fits it. I think that, you know, that body style, he'll be great. So,
Tennessee senior tight end Jacob Warren, a product of Farragut High School.
Today it was media day for Tennessee football as the Volunteers open fall camp tomorrow with practice number one. And in a little more than a half hour, we'll have our first practice report of the season.
And they made all four quarterbacks available today. One, Hendon Hooker. We had a chance to catch up with the transfer from Virginia Tech. Here comments from Hendon Hooker.
Hendon, tell me how you feel like maybe you improved during the summer.
You know, really just mastering the offense and getting some camaraderie with the guys and getting the chemistry and gelling well.
Tell me about the offense in the spring, the high-octane offense. Do you feel like that suits your game?
Yes, sir, it does. You know, really just trying to push the tempo was kind of the biggest thing. Just getting adjusted to getting a play in fast, communicating it well, and just being efficient at the end of the day.
Did you ever run an offense like that before?
Yeah, for the most part, you know, at Virginia Tech, we ran kind of a high-paced offense at times, but I don't think anything matches this offense.
Leaving the spring, and just what do you feel like are a couple of things that you really targeted as things you needed to get better at?
Yeah, pretty much just being aggressive, just kind of pushing the ball downfield a little bit more, and just being decisive on my decision making. That's kind of been something that I've been trying to work on this summer.
And you obviously were here last year, but it seems like Coach Heupel identified, you know, changing the culture, team bonding as something, you know, high on his list of priorities when he got here in the spring. Just can you talk about how he's gone about that, how effective it's been with, you know, some of these, you know, dodgeballs, you know, all some of these kind of
Just kind of learning each other off the field and away from the facility. Just you know, picking each other's brains and having a good time away from the field has been something that you know, we kind of expressed to Coach Heupel as the leadership council at the beginning of the spring. And these it's probably some of the most fun I've had with teammates in a while, honestly.
Have you guys been told how this competition is going to flesh itself out? How you win the job?
You know, not really. Just pretty much playing smart football, in my opinion. What I think, playing smart football, playing aggressive and fast, and being a leader and mastering the offense.
How much do you pay attention to what the other guys are doing in that competition? Do you focus just on yourself?
Not so much, other than, you know, we kind of just bounce ideas off each other as far as what we see on the field or technique-wise or what we think the coaches want out of a certain play. You know, we kind of just work together and play off of each other, honestly.
You don't have to work together because you're competing with these guys. Yeah. Why do you?
I mean, honestly, it's just great sportsmanship and a great mark of a leader, in my opinion. And as far as pushing each other, I feel like if it's great competition throughout the room, we can all compete through love. And, you know, we can all go about it as professionals.
We haven't seen a lot out of Joe Milton. What have you seen out of him?
Yeah, you know, Joe's big. As you can see, you know, he's a big guy. You know, has a great arm. You know, has a great grasp on football knowledge. I know we talk about a lot of different looks we've gotten from different teams and different styles of play we've seen. So you know, just a great football mind.
Does he have the best arm among the quarterbacks?
I don't know. He can throw it. He can throw it, but we all can throw it. So. That's a great question.
Are you the best athlete among the quarterbacks?
I think so. I definitely think so. Yes, sir.
And you kind of touched on this, but quarterback's a unique position on a team. I mean, just one guy is generally going to play, unlike other spots. How tough is it to, you know, be in that room and be friends with guys when you're all competing, you know, for that spot?
You know, I've been in a quarterback competition every year I've been in college. So, honestly, the best way to go about it is to keep the room close-knit. And if we're all close-knit and pushing each other to be better every day, then nothing can be wrong because everybody's ready to go when that number is called. And everyone is going to be pushing the guy that's at number one to be the best he can be.
What do you like most about this offense?
Honestly, I like catching the defense off guard, you know, really getting to the line and operating, and also the just the control we can have over the calls at the line. If we see something that's not good or beneficial for the play, then we can get out of it and check something that's going
to
work.
Has it forced you and the other offensive players to get in better shape?
Not really. I feel like through practice we get into that game shape gradually. It's something that you can't just jump into and try to hit the ground running. You kind of have to work your way up. So through practice and then through these workouts through the summer has definitely benefited us.
Do you think there's any value to quarterbacks coming out and speaking to the media and the public like all four of you guys are today?
I feel like it's a need, but, you know, you can go without it. But it's always good to just get out and show your leadership and kind of talk about, you know, what's going on behind the scenes sometimes that coaches might not hit on.
Coach Golich said that there's a sense of urgency in the quarterback room, that he wants to kind of identify guys 10 to 14 days in as far as the pecking order. Do you feel a sense of urgency as far as that position?
Honestly, I'm just going to come out and play good football, have a good time. That's what it's all about at the end of the day. Making smart plays and having fun while doing it, playing hard and playing aggressive.
You've obviously played quite a bit in the past, but, you know, new system and all that. Well, what ways did that challenge you most this spring, and where do you feel like you've improved most since you got here?
Yeah, well, from being in a system for 4 years and then coming to a new system, just kind of learning why the OC is calling these plays, how he's calling them. And once you get a grasp on that, just moving towards, okay, what are my checks, and just getting comfortable in the offense and all starts from the top of understanding how the OC calls it and then how different plays are played out.
You talked about that leadership that quarterbacks have to have. You know, with so much roster turnover and also with coaching changes, how important has it been for the quarterbacks to sort of take charge of the team this offseason?
It's very important. You know, at the end of the day, we're the guys that's talking on the field. So really building that camaraderie between our teammates and getting to know each other off the field, as we talked about before, through the activities and stuff. It's definitely been a whirlwind of fun, for sure.
Was there anything about your experience at Virginia Tech that you think will help you here?
Just going through, tough games and having tight games and just pushing through that and leadership and leading men forward, I feel like that's helpful to my game.
And how helpful or beneficial is it, do you think, to have a head coach that played the quarterback position and played it at a really high level?
Yes. I think that's very beneficial because he understands how we think and what situations we're being put in, and he knows how to overcome different obstacles. So I feel like us just bouncing ideas and different thoughts to him and him reciprocating the same energy to us is very beneficial.
Why did you see Tennessee as a better opportunity for you than Virginia Tech?
I finished out my degree at Virginia Tech, and I felt like it was time for a fresh start. My connections with Coach Graham and Coach Winkie, kind of brought me over here. And as well as Bryce Thompson, one of my good friends, he was here as well. So I felt like it was a great opportunity.
Was playing in the SEC a part of that?
Mm-hmm. It was. Playing on a bigger stage. This is some of the best football. Well, this is the best football in the nation, so I'm excited.
And last year, of course, there weren't that many fans in the stands because mm-hmm. of COVID. This year, they've opened it up. You kind of excited about the opportunity to play in front of a packed stadium?
Yeah, it's great to play in front of fans, but at the end of the day, when you're out there, all you're thinking about is ball. You don't really feel the stands or the people that are around you until after the play.
And I'm sorry if you've been asked this, I came over here, but when you committed, you were committing to one coaching staff. You mentioned your relationship with Jay Graham. What was that like for you then to see that staff be dismissed and to have to get to know a different staff that you hadn't previously committed to?
It's part of the business. You come in to one thing and something else happens, that's how it goes sometimes. But also, I already had a previous relationship with Coach Hype coming out of high school when he was at Mizzou. So it wasn't really that big of a deal for me.
How do you feel like your skills mesh with this system, this offense?
I felt like they mesh pretty well. Just really grasping it this summer, as I was talking about earlier, was the biggest thing, and then just kind of gelling with the guys, getting that chemistry with the receivers.
And any of the young receivers caught your attention, or the new guys, I guess, including Javonte Payton, this freshman or him, any of those guys really stood out to you?
Yeah, Javonte, he's a speedy guy, runs great routes, has great hands. And then the young guys, Walker Merrill is a special talent for sure.
Comments from Tennessee quarterback Hendon Hooker. Done a couple of notes as far as the Olympics. Good news for the USA in track and field. 19-year-old, I like her name, Athang Mu, A-T-H-I-N-G, Athang Mu, wins the women's 800 meters. It's the first time the USA's won the 800 meters since 1968.
It's been a minute or
How
two.
About that? I think the 68 games were in Mexico City.
Yes, they were.
American record, 155.21. Third place, Raven Rogers of the USA. So congratulations to them. Interesting note here. So the USA is fixing to play Australia in the next round in men's basketball. Patty Mills is one of the best players for Australia. Patty Mills has been negotiating a contract with the Spurs and Greg Popovich, and that's the next opponent. And then it was just announced that Patty Mills has signed with the Nets. he had been with the Spurs for 10 years, and he signed a 2-year, $12 million deal to play for the Nets. He is 32 years old. But it was interesting as I heard them discussing, here's you're fixing to play an opponent who's on your Spurs team. You're negotiating the deal. Then he ends up signing with the Nets. How about that? All right, a couple of other notes out there. Nick Saban's contract was approved. Saban, who is 69, a lot of people wish he was 79 around here. He's 69. His contract goes through 2028, and the average salary will be $10.6 million over the length of that contract. Tennessee has an edge rusher that they're targeting. He has announced that he's going to make a decision October the 1st. His name is Joshua Jacobs out of Kennesaw, Georgia. 6'3", 215. He's the number 16 edge rusher in the country, the number 29 prospect in the state of Georgia. The Pat Summit Ignite Greatness Award, which is presented by the Greater Knoxville Sports Hall of Fame, the winner, Michelle Marciniak. Michelle Marciniak helped lead the Lady Vols to national championship. She played for Pat Summit. She has moved back to this area, and she is the winner of the Pat Summit Ignite Greatness Award. So congratulations to her. And, John, the Big 12 and the Pac-12, they are meeting to discuss a partnership. They are vetting their options about what to do. Do they merge? Do they semi-emerge? Do they discuss what they think might be the best for each conference? I think that those meetings would be very interesting.
Yes, very. And I think while a lot of people are trying to say, hey, merger, it's not exactly that, but that also is not off the table. Mm-hmm. When you lose two big pieces like the Big 12 is going to with Oklahoma and Texas, you want to make sure that you do something that is beneficial to you and as you try and keep your group of eight now together. And I think it makes perfect sense. And in fact, it wouldn't surprise me. Geographically, it would make more sense than some of the other things we've seen if it were the Big 12 remaining teams and the Pac-12 deciding to get together and either form a scheduling alliance or a beneficial partnership for each side, or maybe when all is said and done, a flat-out merger, because you could jump to 20 teams.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see where that one goes.
Call it the Big Pack.
Yeah. I don't think I mentioned this earlier, maybe, but the Lakers, they acquired Dwight Howard and Trevor Ariza, and then they've now acquired Carmelo Anthony and Malik Monk.
Mm-hmm.
So,
a lot of one-year deals flying around.
Yes, and we mentioned yesterday, so you got three players for the Lakers who make over $40 million each, right? So they're having to negotiate lower deals and trying to acquire people that are willing to be role players, pay for less, and get playoff money because they got a chance to win an NBA title.
You also have a roster that's old enough to take advantage of the early bird specials in terms of when it comes to team meals.
And
goodness
comes,
gracious, they're a little bit up there.
Well, they also get a free AARP card.
There you go.
So another discount for the anyway, the Lakers with getting Carmelo Anthony and Malik Monk in addition to the two others. Dwight Howard making a return to the Lakers. So, I mean, obviously to me in the West, they're the team to beat. I think the team to beat in the East is not Milwaukee. I think it's the Nets.
Yeah, if healthy, I think they would have been the team to beat, and I think they were the team to beat. It's amazing how few games there were this past year for all three with Harden, Irving, and Durant. But I do think that, yes, you could pencil them in ahead of the defending world champs with the incredible finish they had.
And Blake Griffin signing a one-year deal to stay with the Nets. Chris Paul staying with the Suns 4 years, up to $120 million. Kyle Lowry going to Miami 3 years at $90 million. Jimmy Butler 4 years at $184 million. They keep him. They keep Duncan Robinson with the Heat. They're going to be tough to beat. And then the Bulls acquiring Lonzo Ball from New Orleans 4 years at $84 million.
That's Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. We'll get a break. Coming up, hour number four, it starts with your chance to win with a Sports Fix at 6 on 99.1, The Sports Animal.